Hey guys, welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. I'll be joined with by Joe Danier here in a minute. Today is Thursday. I just look at the date and I forget every time. It's Thursday, November 17th, 2022. Hope everybody's having a great day. We are going to talk a lot of sports today, per usual. Joe, I didn't do my research on facts about Bills and Buffaloes and all that stuff, because we got a lot of stuff on the docket today. So I'm going to leave that up to you during the show. If you want to throw some interesting tidbits about some Buffaloes.
Okay. Can I go in my own direction?
You can take it whichever way you want to. At about 4:15, we will be joined. So in about 40 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by WFMJ meteorologist Andrew DiPaolo, who's going to help make some sense of this Browns-Bills weather situation that will be in full flux this weekend. I got to be careful saying full flux. I mean, better not say that 10 times fast. I'll practice off air with that. But today's going to be like our Thursday thought. So we are obviously going to get into the Browns, Bills, Blizzard. A lot of alliteration going on here. As I mentioned, Andrew DiPaolo from WFMJ will join us around 4:15. We are also going to talk Buckeyes and Maryland Terrapins preview before the big game this weekend, or next weekend, excuse me, with Ohio State and Michigan. We have four local high school teams still alive in the regional finals. So if they win this weekend, they advance on to the state semifinals, the final four in their division in the entire state. And we will also check in with the Cleveland Cavaliers, struggling a bit as of late, but that is what it is. So we will get to that. So we're going to start with the Browns and the Bills, and then we're going to kind of finish with the Browns and the Bills once Andrew joins us. So real quick look at the forecast this weekend, and I'm going to have Andrew talk about this. You see like Hanover, wherever Hanover is, 12 to 18 inches, Collins, 12 to 18 inches, the Niagara Falls area, 18 to 24 inches of snow. And then you got Buffalo sitting right there, 3 to 4 feet. They're not even messing around with inches. They're just going straight up feet. So 36 to 48 inches. And this was as of this morning that I checked this. We'll have Andrew give us some updated totals and what that kind of means for when it's going to occur, what's going to happen, stuff like that. Joe, when you were a little kid, did you guys ever go outside and just like, throw the football around the snow, play some backyard football?
Every day.
It was like so much fun to do this. Now, as a professional athlete, I'm sure they're not looking forward to this as much. And the Browns are coming off like kind of like, total opposite scenarios, playing in like 85 perfect weather in Miami, practically being in like 100 degrees in the sun, now going to Buffalo. And I don't know what the temperatures are going to be like. There's a big difference if it's 30 degrees and snowing or 0 degrees and snowing. And a lot of football players and quarterbacks, especially and wide receivers, say the wind is actually sometimes a bigger difference or more of a factor than the snow, but we'll see. So we'll get into all that. But I don't know. Personally, I love games in the snow, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I don't know. That's where we're at.
And what I like best, too, is that the NFL was like, you know what? No, we're playing in that stinking state. Because they could have very easily said, we're going to Detroit or something.
Yeah, and as of now, there's been no change. So possibly this game, as you mentioned, could be shifted to Detroit. It has happened before where they've moved off of a site, but as of now, the game is still on. It's still in Buffalo. They're getting kind of reports from the league, and that's where we're at. So
like, how, as a grounds crew, like how do you make preparations for 4 foot of snow?
I really don't know. I mean, it's just, I would imagine what I would do if I were the Buffalo Bills team, I would hire people from that are Buffalo Bills fans and give them gear or give them stuff from the team shop or maybe give them a voucher from the team shop and say, hey, you're going to help us shovel. You're going to help us do this, like dig out the stadium more so. And then the grounds crew, if they can keep up with the snow and just get it off of the field, then I don't know when it's coming down a couple inches an hour. I don't know that's going to be a lot. So I don't know.
Yeah, because I've watched them clear snow off of the mm-hmm. field, and there's no like crazy mystical way of doing it. They take brooms and shovels and push it off.
Exactly.
So think about like shoveling your driveway 15 times an hour if it was the size of a football field.
Yeah, that does not sound ideal. That does not sound very fun at all. But hopefully they will have, the people of Buffalo, and you know, really, if you're in the Lake Effect region. I mean, these people are prepared for it, but I think the bigger concern is traffic, road conditions. Right. Obviously, you know, they're not worried about the safety of the players on the field. You know, they're going to be fine. You know, that's one thing. But it's the fans getting to the stadium. It's like, you know, when they declare those level 1, 2, 3 emergencies, whatever they are, it's like, only emergency vehicles are allowed on the road. So it's like, are the Browns even going to be able to get there? Like, when do they have to leave? You know, there's a lot of logistical questions in this that's more than just the game. So I think it's going to be really interesting these next 24 hours.
Hey, have you ever as a fan sat in the stands when there was a bunch of snow?
Not a bunch, maybe like a couple inches, maybe like 2 inches, but that's like throughout the whole game. I was at the Ohio State game last weekend. That was just flurries. But like pounding, you know, piling up snow. I do remember I was really young, but I was at a game, I think it was the Browns and Houston Oilers. Mm. That's how long ago it was. And there was a significant amount of snow on the field. And you know how like they'd pile it up and those snow piles are like the last things to melt. So there were significant things there. I want to say that was like early 90s. I was probably like 10 years old. And I remember, you know, very vividly it snowing, but I don't remember there being like so much snow you couldn't like move or walk or anything like that.
I was at a Browns game probably maybe 5 years ago, and it got dumped on where there's a couple feet of snow. Mm-hmm. And so like there's nothing they can do with it in the stands. So you basically walk to your seat and sit on a snow pile because what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? So if you didn't wear gear that was good for sitting it, you'd be sitting in a pile of snow.
It sounds awful. Like honestly, like this is a game that's going to be probably a lot of fun to watch on TV, but I would have no desire to be there. And honestly, the worst weather, more so than like snow, is cold rain. Mm-hmm. You know that they wrote a song about it, Cold November Rain, Guns N' Roses. But, you know, there's nothing more miserable than cold rain. But at least snow, it'll like, you know, fall off of you or whatever. But this is going to be very interesting to see what happens. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Akron, the Akron Zips play at Buffalo in college football on Saturday. So that might give us a little sneak peek of what's happening. And like I said, with Andrew DiPaolo joining us in a little bit, maybe he can kind of give us like a timing of when this is all going to happen. And we can see the parameters for how much snow is going to fall when, because I think a lot of the snow will fall prior to the game, but it's still not going to be easy for, and honestly, as a Browns fan, it benefits us the more snow there is because we are a running team and we know the stat 3-0 and Nick Chubb runs the ball 20 or more times, 0-6 when he does not. So, you know, the Browns are built to run the ball. They are built to run the ball. Buffalo can run it a little bit, but a lot of those runs are based on Josh Allen dropbacks and scrambling out of the pocket. So we'll see. I think the weather definitely benefits the Browns, although the Bills are the fairly heavy favorite in this game. So
does it change the line?
I didn't see what it opened at. I just saw currently it was about an 8.5 point spread, but I would think if there's that much snow, like the under would be, sure. You know, but it's one of those things. It's like, I think a lot of times football players will tell you, guys that have played for years and years, they will say the offensive player has the advantage because they know where they're going. The defender has to react to the offensive player. So it's more, you know, you always think of, it's like, well, yeah, they got to hold on to the ball. They got to be able to throw it. And yeah, all that stuff's true, but they know what they're doing and the defense is playing reactionary to what the offense is doing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how the line will change or what will happen, but we will talk plenty more about that here in a little bit. So let's go into, you know, we always do the nitty gritty, not the most exciting stuff, but you have to know the numbers that are going into this game. So let's take a look at what the Browns do well, what the Bills do well, and kind of compare and contrast before we get into some of the other details here. So the Browns right now, currently fifth in the NFL in total yards per game, 376. They are still fifth in rushing at 159 yards per game, 24.1 points scored per game, which is 10th best in the league. Ugh, this is so depressing, though. If you look at the bottom right, 26.4 points per game allowed. That is the second worst to the Detroit Lions in the entire NFL. 26.4 points a game is totally unacceptable. And now the Browns are 23rd in the league in rushing defense, which is just, again, not acceptable. 8 takeaways for the Browns this year. Again, not good enough. They've given the ball away 12 times. So that leads to a -4 turnover differential, which is just not acceptable for this Cleveland Browns team. Let's go to the counterpoint to them, the Buffalo Bills, their offense and defense. And these numbers are a bit scary when you look at the Buffalo Bills. They are number one in total offense, 424 yards a game. They are number 10 in rushing, 130 yards a game. They are number two in passing, 294 points a game. And they are number two in scoring offense, 27.8 points a game. That's some eye-opening stuff for the Browns, especially a team that has not been very good on defense this year. On the defensive side of the ball, Buffalo, 320 yards per game, which is 8th best defense in the league. They are only allowing 110 yards rushing per game, which is 7th. So the Browns run the ball pretty well. The Bills defend it decently, so this should be a decent matchup there. The Bills throw it. They stopped the pass right in the middle there, 210 yards a game they allow. But look at their scoring defense. They only allow slightly under 17 points a game, which is amazing, and only second best in the NFL. Now, you look at some of their leaders on offense, Josh Allen. You know, he's just doing some great things. I'm sorry, these stats are not quite updated. Josh Allen is their leading rusher this season. He is also their leading. He's also their leading passer, obviously, 2,700 yards per game, or I'm sorry, 2,700 yards for the season, not per game. That would not be ideal.
That'd be a record.
That would be a record. Yes. Stephon Diggs slightly under the 1,000 yard mark for the season. Von Miller already has 8 sacks this year, and Jordan Poyer, 4 interceptions on the season. The Buffalo Bills have 18 giveaways this season, though, so they are prone to turn over the ball, but they have also taken it away 17 times for a -1 turnover differential. So the Buffalo Bills are a very formidable team. They have also lost 2 games in a row. So this is not going to be a happy Buffalo coming down and be like, hey, you know, Cleveland Browns, let's do this. You know, like, no, this is going to be an angry Buffalo charging at the Browns, and not going to be ideal. So so that's where we're at.
Buffaloes don't fly. Just so you know.
That is true. And you know, Kevin Stefanski is 11-1 against animal mascots that do not fly. So. Mm-hmm. So here we are. He is currently on a 1-game losing streak, though, against those animals that do not fly.
Buffalo Wild Wings does have a buffalo that has wings, so there might be an iteration.
That's factual. No, that's factual information. Let's see. Buffalo. Yes. Do you prefer buffalo wings or barbecue wings?
Barbecue.
Have you ever been to Buffalo?
I have.
I've only driven through. I've never like stayed in the town or went out or anything. What do you think about the city overall? Well,
all right. So two things. Like, you got to go there for the food, origin of the Buffalo wing. And I was a little disappointed in the food. So Chicago, I went there thinking that I was going to be blown away. Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you, our food here is better than any of these cities.
Yeah.
So if you're used to things here, you're going to be disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
Buffalo is a very similar city to Cleveland, mm-hmm. you know, in the areas between here and Youngstown. So I was impressed. Lots of commercialization. They are so loyal to their football team.
I mean,
it's everywhere. Yeah. I think that at the border, you have to pledge allegiance to the Buffalo. They have them everywhere. Like,
yeah.
They have these big casted buffaloes that are just sitting on every
Like we have the penguins around here, kind of like that. Buffaloes are a little bit bigger than penguins too. So
And meaner.
And meaner, that's for sure. I'm still holding you. You got to give me some Buffalo facts here.
I will tell you this. Buffalo are extremely boring, right? They're big, fluffy,
they're like docile.
Cows.
They're not.
They don't do a whole lot.
Yeah.
They're just dumb. Did you see Yellowstone, by the way?
I did.
So spoiler alert, a buffalo, I think, played
Did you know
a role
it was,
in
there
that.
Was two episodes that yes. dropped too. Yes. So Buffalo played a role in the end of episode one.
And that was definitely an asshole buffalo.
Oh.
Total asshole.
Yeah. I mean, can't be just out on the road.
Dumb, stupid, furry cow.
And that buffalo will not live to tell its story either. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's not ideal. Not ideal. And unfortunate there. Kind of a, you know, there's been, I've been watching... I'm just going to get into this real quick. Sure. You know, I watched House of the Dragon, which is on HBO, watched Yellowstone, watched several other shows, White Lotus right now I'm watching. But in House of the Dragon, and more specifically Yellowstone, there are about three different birthing scenes that are just gruesome to watch. And women deserve so much credit, because my God, just even watching someone act that out is horrific. So tip of the cap to all the ladies out there that have given birth, because that is they deserve a lot of credit for that, because they are really truly warriors in that sense. So okay, let's get back to football a little bit.
See what I do to you? Like, no, I'm no good for you.
No, it's good. We need to go off the rails a little bit, because
you can't go from stats and then just dryness, right? You
got
to go from stats
to
stupid woolly cows
and birthing and pregnancy and all that stuff. Yeah,
might as well.
So with that, let's get into the AFC playoff picture. Why don't we? So the Chiefs are currently sitting there at the top of the AFC West at 7-2. They are the number one seed. Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins, 7-3, the number two seed currently as it stands in the AFC. The Tennessee Titans, who I thought were going to stink this year, are 6-3, leading the AFC South. And our Baltimore Ravens leading the, not our Baltimore Ravens, but the Baltimore Ravens of the AFC North, leading at 6-3. We also have the Jets 6-3, the Bills at 6-3, and the Patriots at 6-3. I did mention this on the show on Tuesday, but all four AFC East teams are in the playoffs as it stands now. A lot of season to play, but that's still where we're at. The Browns have four teams to still jump if they would like to make it into the playoffs. So that's where we're at with that. I do see Andrew has jumped in the waiting room here, so we're going to bring him on, and we are going to talk a little Browns football, but also talk a little weather here. So, Andrew, appreciate you joining the show. Welcome back, and how you doing? Oh, hold on one second. We're going to check your mic. We got to get the mics going in the background. That's our fault. I'm going to blame it on Joe. Joe runs the show behind the scenes, but I'm blaming Joe. All right, give me a mic check real quick. Still
a couple minutes. Go in your next thing.
All right, Andrew, we're going to bring you right back. We're going to fix our mics real quick and bring you right back. All right, so So with that said, we're gonna get Andrew's mic here fixed up. But I'm gonna just show you a couple things here. I'm gonna go over our NFL picks for the week, and I'm just gonna give you my picks here real quick off the bat. Tonight you have Tennessee.
Well, he must be muted because I think he's got to unmute himself.
Andrew, can you unmute yourself?
Yep. Can you hear me now? Good.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Yep. My microphone or my earphones don't have a little microphone thing on them. So we're going to do it without those.
Okay. All right.
I'm vindicated.
As long as you can hear us good, we're good.
Yep.
All right. Well, Andrew, again, thank you for joining us. And sure. And how are you doing today?
Good. Yeah, not too bad. Just did a little cool story about a partnership with Mill Creek Metro Parks and YSU's Legacy Forest Committee. That's coming up tonight at 6. And over my shoulder here, Eric Wilhelm, Chief, is working diligently on his winter forecast, which is going to be premiering at 5 tonight and 6 as well. So
okay. All right. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I'm very interested in the winter forecast, especially as I am not someone who typically loves the cold, bleak winter, you know, nights or whatever, days, yeah, whatever you want to say. You know, today was kind of that typical gloomy November, December type day. So
sure. No, it certainly was. I mean, very cloudy. Wind chills made it feel about 10 or so degrees away from the actual air temperature. And, you know, it's going to be brutal tomorrow morning in the teens. Same with Saturday and Sunday. And then things do improve moving forward. But, you know, we talk winter, we talk about snow. And this time of the year, we gear up for, you know, our first couple batches of lake effect snow. And of course, there's no ice on the Great Lakes, right? And so they're kind of open season for just pretty big lake effect snow events. And we're seeing that this weekend. We saw it starting this morning and continuing through the end of the weekend here.
So you're saying because the lake is not frozen over, more moisture is getting into the air, and then that's kind of what's going to cause the storm in Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, that's how the lake effect snow forms. You get a good wind out of the west or out of the northwest, and the more moisture it can pick up, the stronger the snow event is going to be. And of course, you have the entire lake. You have all of Lake Erie with Buffalo sitting on the eastern side. So all of that moisture gets pushed with a westerly breeze, and you're going to set yourself up for a pretty gnarly lake effect event here, where we're talking about accumulation in feet, not inches.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm obviously one of our meteorologists here in Youngstown, and you kind of, you know, focus on the Northeast Ohio, Western Pennsylvania side of things, but I'm going to take you out maybe a little bit of your comfort zone and go up into Northeastern or Northwestern New York, I should say.
Yeah, right.
And give us your expectations for, you don't have to give us a full forecast or anything,
right,
but give us kind of your expectations and like maybe timetables and what we're looking at for this coming weekend in Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, I just am pulling up some of our high res models here, and it really does look like, you know, lake effect will get going late tonight and into tomorrow and just kind of continue to be an issue throughout tomorrow. It's just kind of like a band, one after the other, just continuing to move onshore there in Buffalo. But one thing Eric and I were talking about earlier this week was the potential for that snow to break up. There's going to be some upper air dynamics in play for some of that snow to break up, probably afternoon, evening on Saturday. So, you know, I've seen a lot of these posts on Twitter, which kind of really make my eyes roll about, oh, there could be 6 feet of snow during the game. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. There's not going to be feet of snow on the ground, you know, during the game. Now, it'll accumulate right before the game starts, but it's not going to be, you know, accumulating while the game is going on.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. And I think, you know, anytime we hear these enormous snow totals, whether it's locally or somewhere else, you know, whether it be Alaska or in this case, Buffalo or whatever, You know, I think the big concern that people don't think about is the roads. And let's say, hypothetically, we might have some people from Youngstown traveling up to Buffalo. Sure. You know, who knows? It's only about a 3-hour drive in decent weather conditions. So tell us a little bit about, like, maybe the impacts of the roads, depending on, like, how much snow would fall and stuff like that.
You know, I had a buddy that is working up for a corporate project up in Rochester. He lives in Poland. And, you know, I was on the phone with him talking about, hey, I would not take I-90 today. Parts of I-90 were shut down. There were lake effect snow events still going on around midday in upstate New York. You know, I was kind of redirecting him for an alternate route out of Rochester. And it's going to be the same thing if people are thinking about traveling from here locally to Buffalo for the game. Sure. Up in Orchard Park, I would not do it. I know you probably paid a good amount of money for those tickets. Unfortunately, your safety is what comes first. And, you know, one of the things that we like to talk about as meteorologists is impacts. You know, the numbers is what gets the clicks, but it's the impacts. Everybody deals with impacts, you know, in different ways. A foot of snow in Youngstown is very different than a foot of snow in Erie, than it is a foot of snow maybe in Columbus. Yes. Everybody deals with snow in different ways, but the impacts are really what matters. You might see a number and you might go, well, whatever. You know, an inch of snow can cause problems here, especially when it's the first batch of snow for the season. So we really like to kind of harp on the impacts, because that's what's going to impact you, right? That's what's going to impact your morning routine or evening routine. So I would not, I would stay far, far away from I-90 and, you know, that area moving forward here, you know, the rest of the weekend. And I know there are a lot of people in this area that travel north or northeast for work. So there are people that are impacted by this here locally too.
Yeah. And when you hear that term lake effect snow in Youngstown, we don't quite get that. But when you get into that Trumbull County area, I almost feel like there's a threshold. Like, you get into that Cortland area and it's a big difference. So when you're talking about getting into Cortland and then getting into Ashtabula and then getting into Erie and then Buffalo, I mean, the difference is immense with that lake effect.
Absolutely. You know, there's a primary snowbelt, there's a secondary snowbelt. Of course, here locally, we still deal with lake effect snow. Some might say it could be a little bit weaker the farther south you travel. And if you get a really good band of snow with a really strong wind pushing that band in that certain direction, you know, it's really interesting who can really be impacted by that lake effect snow. You know, I've seen it where I've, you know, been in college at Ohio University. It's sinking as far south as southeastern Ohio. But we talk about, you know, primary snowbelts and secondary snowbelts. Yeah, you're right. That Cortland, that I-80 threshold that we like to use as a road marker, from there to the edges of Trumbull and Mercer County, that certainly can be a whole nother world sometimes where we wake up, you know, and get some messages or pictures, and they're talking about a few inches of snow, and you head a few miles to the south of that, and, well, you know, it's a difference of maybe 3-4 inches of snow and maybe a coating or less sometimes.
Okay. All right. Andrew, I was sharing the stat with Joe earlier that the Browns are 3-0 when Nick Chubb rushes the ball 20 or more times, and they are 0-6 when he does not reach that 20 carry threshold. So let me give you an over under here.
Okay.
More inches of snow on the ground accumulated this weekend in Buffalo or Nick Chubb carries in the game?
More snow. Are we talking more snow in inches?
More snow in inches.
Okay. More snow in inches from like tonight through Sunday morning.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We'll say, yeah. Okay. We'll do tonight at midnight through Saturday morning, Sunday morning at midnight. We'll do that.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to say more inches of snow. Eric, what do you think? What's that? More inches of snow on the ground in Buffalo by Sunday morning, let's say like midnight, 2 a.m. or whatever, or Nick Chubb carries for the game Sunday.
Definitely more snow.
More snow. Yeah. Eric agrees as well. More snow.
All right. Well, you have two legit weather experts in Andrew DiPaolo and Eric Wilhelm that have shared their thoughts on, they say there's going to be more inches of snow on the ground in Buffalo than Nick Chubb carries. Hopefully they are, I don't know. I'm hoping you're, I don't know. It's going to be interesting either way.
I know you're saying, you know, the ball needs to get into Nick Chubb's hands, and we're hoping for 1.5 million touches. But it seemed like, especially last week too, you know, the Dolphins, I thought they were supposed to have a pretty bad run defense. And it seemed like they kind of sniffed out the Nick Chubb run and Kareem Hunt run pretty quickly. And that forced us to pass. And boy, were the Dolphins seemed red hot yesterday. I mean, they seemed like Super Bowl contenders against us, but I guess when you don't play defense, you know, you make an offense look good, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The defense usually plays a factor in the game. So, it should be interesting. And talk about one extreme to the other. You're going from like 85 in Miami to what? Do you know what the actual temperature will be for the game in Buffalo?
I can look it up real fast. I haven't looked really at temperatures. I've been really looking at the snow, but hold on. I'll look it up real fast. It actually should be pretty quiet on Sunday in Buffalo. Shouldn't be actually terrible. That's why, you know, I was saying a lot of people have been posting those things. I actually saw NBC Sports post a graphic of 6 feet of snow accumulating, or 6 feet of snow during the game. And it's, you know, well before they'll get the feet. Sunday's high. I'll credit this National Weather Service. Yeah, I figured upper 20s, low 30s. They're going with 28. So we'll go upper 20s, do around 30, somewhere in that range. So yeah, it'll be chilly and breezy up there. You know, a chance for some lighter snow showers and flurries during the game on Sunday. And overall, you know, just they're used to it up there. But I don't think you're going to see, like, what was that snow game back in 07? Yes. You know, where it was snowing and people were kind of tripping all over that. You're not going to see that.
Okay. All right. Very, very good. Very good. And a lot of times people say the snow is actually not as a big a factor as the wind actually is in a game, you know, in, you know, playing football or whatever. So we'll see. It doesn't sound like it's going to be crazy windy or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. You know, we saw 2 weeks ago, Northwestern was playing, or I'm sorry, Ohio State was playing at Northwestern. YSU was playing at Illinois State in Normal, Illinois. And I think at one point during that YSU game, the kicker kicked the ball off, and I think it went behind him. I think it just hit a wall of wind. And but certainly, yes, the impacts, there's definitely impacts when it comes to playing the game, both with wind and with snow. But, you know, you get a quiet wind day and it's just kind of cold, and I would probably give the upper hand to wind having a more impact than snow.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, you know, I know you got to get ready for the news here in a little bit. So we want to thank you for joining us.
Sure.
You want to plug the new 5 o'clock newscast for us?
Yes. So we launched our new 5 PM broadcast on Labor Day. We've been hearing great things about it. People telling us all the time that they watch us now. We love to hear that. Please tune in tonight. We got some really great interviews. Of course, Lindsay does a fantastic job, anchoring the show. She's so great at it. And, tonight we have, you know, a forecast that will include wind chills in the teens and even single digits for the weekend. Of course, we're talking lighter snow, not really accumulating snow, all of the latest from up in Buffalo as well. But our chief here is going to be doing his winter forecast premiere at 5 and 6 o'clock tonight. So if you can't catch it at 5, it'll be at 6. And also, he's got a blog as well where that full forecast is posted.
Oh, you guys do a great job over there at WFMJ, kind of neighbors right down the street from us here at Young Sports Studio. So we hope to get you guys back down here in studio sometime in the near future. But Andrew, also wanted to wish you congratulations, recent wedding.
Yes.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
And one more question for you before we let you out of here. So with wind chills and the teens and stuff like that, sounds like a good time to maybe just stay home, have a beer, have a drink or something. So I know you're a bourbon guy. I know you're an IPA guy. Give us one beer or one bourbon maybe to look out for.
Okay. So, you know, we're getting into porter season. We're getting into the stout season. Bourbons, you know, my go-to, I'm pretty basic with my bourbons. I like the go-to, the Woodford Reserve is always a great good to go to. Buffalo Trace, I love, because it's $25 mm-hmm. a bottle if you can find it around it. The problem is if you can find it.
Right.
And, you know, as far as beer goes, if you like stouts, and I know Chalet has it, and I'm pretty sure Vintage does too, go look for the Kentucky Bourbon Barrel coffee stout. Okay. So it comes in four packs at Chalet, and it's amazing. It's like 8-some%. It's great if you're watching a noon kickoff for a YSU game. It's really nice to sip on. And of course, we're getting into the Christmas season. I know Birdfish is launching their Grinch coming up. It's one of my favorites. So we're getting into that Christmas beer season and that stout and that porter season where you got a lot of good choices.
All right, good deal. Well, Andrew, thank you for the beer advice, the bourbon advice, and of course the Buffalo weather this weekend. So make sure to tune in to WFMJ. Check out Andrew, check out Lindsay, check out Eric and all their crew. They do a phenomenal job, and I think we've had literally your whole studio down here as guests before. So we appreciate you guys all, and look forward to watching you guys on TV.
Thank you so much, Justin. Appreciate me having me on.
Thanks, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon. All right. So there is a look at the potential weather forecast this weekend in Buffalo. If you didn't see that whole part, go back and check it out. But Andrew expects a lot of snow, not necessarily on the field, but accumulating up into the game. So as long as the game is not moved and the roads should be safe, I think we're going to get a nice little snow game here. So it should be fun. So the other possibilities that I have heard is Joe had mentioned moving the game possibly to Detroit. Now, Buffalo plays on Thanksgiving Day. So you can't really move it to Monday and then only give them a day or two off or a day or two of prep, even though the Lions stink. But that's just the way it is. But like, obviously, the health of the players comes first.
What's the next closest stadium? Because I won't put him in Cleveland because that's a little bit of an advantage.
Well, yeah, and I don't think Buffalo wants to give up a home game either. Right. You know, that would be, you know, so I mean.
But could it really be a home game if there's 9 feet of snow? I mean, really.
Exactly.
You have no home field advantage.
That Bills Mafia up there, is that what they call them? They're insane.
Okay.
I mean, they're jumping off of roofs onto tables. They're jumping off of RVs onto tables. So there, you know, you're going to see at least 25 shirtless people up in those stands, you know, which I'm all for fandom. I'm all for going all out for your team, but
Craig,
I don't think you could pay me enough to be shirtless for 4 hours outside in those conditions. I mean, it's just stupid.
And there we have it.
Stupid. So, all right, Joe, let's go to a little betting segment here. Andrew said he was going to take the inches of snow over Nick Chubb carries. So I'm going to also take the inches of snow just because, I mean, I've seen what it says. So I'm going more inches of snow than Nick Chubb carries this weekend. What do you say? Ideally, it snows like 30 inches. And Nick Chubb gets 30 carries and carries the Browns to a win.
I'm going with Chubb. Like,
okay. All right. So Joe is going with Chubb on this one. And why not? Why not?
That's exactly right.
Let's go for it. So the better. I'm going to just say it now anyway. The more Chubb, the better, right? That's what she said.
Listen, so, I'm the uncouth one on this program, dude.
That You're is fringing. True. I am. I'm loosening my tie.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. So the line as it stands of this morning was 8.5 points. Obviously the Bills were favored, being still one of the Super Bowl favorites. So they're 8.5 point favorites, the total 43.5 over under. So Joe, what say you on this line and the total?
Well, I'm going to take the Browns with the points.
Yeah, like, that's a lot of points in this kind of weather.
Yeah,
I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to go under, just because I think the Browns have to win this game is not going to be a shootout.
No,
especially if the weather is like what it is. So I'm going to go under, and I'm not going to give a score prediction, but I'm going to go under and take the Browns getting the points.
I'm going with you.
All right. So Joe and I are agreed. The only difference, Joe is going more Nick Chubb carries than inches of snow, and I'm going to go under Nick Chubb carries than inches of snow. So either way, it's going to be a lot of snow this weekend. Should be a lot of fun. Now, we'll take that off the board if the game does somehow shift to Detroit, because then all bets are off.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You know, take that off the board. All right, let's go through this weekend's games. And there are four teams on bye: the Jaguars, the Seahawks, the Dolphins, and the Buccaneers. I'm just going to give you my picks, and Joe, feel free, give me yours. I went 5-9 last week. It was not a good week. A lot of upsets. I've been keeping track. 75-43 on the season for me. Thursday night is kind of like a bugaboo. Like, I feel like I'm off every week, every Thursday night game, and I'm going with the Packers this week, so probably bet the Titans in that case. So,
well, what made you come around on Green Bay? They've been struggling.
They did pull out an overtime victory against the Cowboys last week, which really surprised me. Their rookie wide receiver kind of came through. I still don't think they're very good, and they're not going to win their division. So I think I like them at home on a short week. Okay. So that's kind of my reason for picking them. And obviously they still do have the superior quarterback, you know, in this game. So,
okay, well, I'm going to go with Tennessee because you suck at picking things.
I suck at picking Thursday night. So obviously not my cup of tea. The Buffalo Bills I'm going to take on Sunday to win. I did say I'm going to take the Browns to cover. So I'm going to go Buffalo to win.
I'm going with the Browns.
Very nice. Joe going heavy upset. Bet the money line. I think it's like plus 300 on the money line. So, you know, 3-1 odds there. Philadelphia. Philadelphia coming off their first loss of the season. There will be no undefeated teams. The 72 Dolphins can pop that champagne. So I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles over Jeff Saturday's Indianapolis Colts.
I'm going with you.
All right, we're agreed on that. The Dallas Cowboys travel to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Vikings coming off a win at Buffalo last week, one of the games of the year, if not the game of the year. I'm going to go with the Vikings to ride that hot streak.
Yep, I'm with you.
We're agreed. Detroit. You know, just Detroit's not a very good team right now. They are playing the upstart New York Giants, who are really showing a lot of good things here. I'm going to go with the Giants at home.
Giants as well.
All right. We have the New York Jets at the New England Patriots. The former Bill Belichick Bowl has coached both of these teams. I am going to go with the New England Patriots, even though I think the Jets... I kind of think the Jets are going to win, but for some reason, I'm just going with New England at home because of the Bill Belichick factor.
So I'll take the Jets.
All right. Joe is going with the Jets. I'm going with the Patriots. On, I think this is a 1 p.m. game, even though it's the Rams and the Saints. But the Rams, who are really maybe more disappointing than the Cleveland Browns, their Super Bowl champs last year, have three wins. They're very banged up. Cooper Kupp is now out for a long time. So that really, really hurts them at the wide receiver position. One of the best players in the NFL. So for that reason, I am going to go with the Saints at home to beat the LA Rams.
I'm with you.
All right. Agreed. The Falcons are traveling to Chicago to take on Justin Fields and the Bears. I'm going to go with the home team Bears in this one. I think Justin Fields continues to play some good football. If the rest of his teammates around him can play, I think they're going to be a decent team. So I'm going to go with the Bears.
I'm with you.
All right. Agreed. Carolina at the Ravens. Carolina's not even much to talk about, even though our old friend Baker Mayfield will be back under center as the starting quarterback.
Oh, starting.
So
awesome.
I am going to go, and one of those reasons I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, that is my reason,
Baltimore okay. Ravens. Baltimore. Las Vegas, one of the most disappointing teams, if not the most disappointing teams. Browns right up there. Also Denver, a very disappointing team. But in a matchup of two disappointing teams, I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to take the Broncos. Let's ride, Bronco Nation.
I'm in the Suck Bowl. I'm going with the Broncos as
okay.
well.
Okay. All right. Both on the Broncos. Bengals at Steelers. Steelers beat them week one. Cincinnati goes into Pittsburgh looking for revenge. I'm going to take Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. I just think they're the better team.
And didn't the Steelers just win
They did. They beat the Saints last week.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Okay. That Joe is taking.
I'm going to the Steelers.
Joe is going with the Steelers. I am taking the Bengals. The Washington football team Commies are going to travel to the 1-7-1 or 1-6-1 Houston Texans. But Washington coming off the upset win over Philadelphia on Monday night to give them their first loss of the season. I'm going to take Washington and Heinicke over the Houston Texans.
All right, I'm going to go with Washington too, but aren't they like the Commandos or something?
They're the Commanders, but they a lot. Some of them might go Commando for the game yes. But I highly recommend wearing that jock strap for the game. For sure. Sunday night, two games to go. This game actually got flexed. This was supposed to be Pittsburgh and the Bengals, but they have bumped them to the 4 o'clock time slot and bumped up the Kansas City Chargers game to Sunday night. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs over the Chargers. I think the Chiefs right now might be the best team in the NFL.
I'm going Chiefs as well.
All right. And then Monday night, you got the 49ers at Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are terrible. So I'm going to go with the 49ers on the road though.
I'm with you. So we only differed on four picks.
So do what you want with those four picks, you might, I don't know, I think we're going to be back to a hot streak this week. I think we're going to be back to good. Last week was a struggle for my picks especially, so we'll see.
You should do like a coin flip week where you just use a coin and mm-hmm. see how if you get you improve your odds.
That's not a bad, I mean, it's not a bad idea. No. It's not terrible. Not terrible. So those are our weekly picks for the NFL. Again, there's the AFC playoff picture with, you know, the Browns have a long, long way to climb. But
eliminated.
Not by any means. Not eliminated. Got a lot of game left or a lot of season left. But at this point, I think you can only scratch off two teams, and that's the Raiders and the Texans in the AFC. I think they're pretty much eliminated. I don't like the Steelers or Jaguars chances or Broncos really. And the Browns are on life support. So, two wins when you're sitting at 3-6 could really change some things. So if the Broncos or Browns or Steelers or Jaguars can pull off two straight wins, then we'll see here, but not likely. So we'll see. All right, let's switch to college football real quick. Check in with Ohio State before we get out of here. Ohio State sitting at number 2 in the country, taking on Maryland. Now, this a lot of times people consider a trap game. The you go into an opponent's who has a decent record, a decent team, some skill players on Maryland. They are 6-4. They were 6-2 and have lost their last two straight. But Maryland's, don't be fooled. They have Tua's brother as their quarterback. They have some decent weapons on the outside at the wide receiver. But Ohio State has won all 7 games in this series. The line for this game is 27.5. As per usual with Ohio State, usually it's at least 4 touchdowns. The over-under 64.5 for this game. The last matchup last year, 66-17, Ohio State won it. But they have not played in Maryland since 2018, and that was because of COVID in 2020. But the last game played in Maryland, 52-51, Ohio State in overtime. That was a very, very crazy game. And Dwayne Haskins was the quarterback, rest in peace, with the Buckeyes for that game. Maryland has kind of a middle-of-the-pack offense and a middle-of-the-road defense, so nothing spectacular. They're going to throw at you, but Ohio State will be ready for them going into this weekend and getting ready and plenty of stuff getting going for the game against the team up north next weekend. So right now, Ohio State, 10 games in, you got this game, you got one more. Ohio State numbers across the board, they are basically, I think it's Michigan and Ohio State currently are the only top 10 teams in both offense and defense. Ohio State, number 2 in points, number 1 in yards per play. They are number 2 in touchdowns right now, only 1 behind Tennessee. They are number 6 in yards per game. On defense, they are number 6 in points allowed. They are number 5 in yards per play. They are number 7 in opponents' touchdowns allowed, and they are number 5 in yards per game. Oh, and the Browns Bills maybe has moved to Detroit. Is that
confirmed?
That's confirmed. Okay. So breaking news. Okay. Browns Bills in Detroit. So that was still a cool weather update though. but you know, so, okay, that's where we're at. So,
well, no snow and warmer weather means that you'll get more chub for sure. Right.
Yeah. How many inches will you wake up to?
I can't measure that much, but
we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on. Well, I'm gonna give you the best matchups of week 12 of the college football season here. We have number 4 TCU traveling to Waco, Texas, where there will be no snow, and Baylor. Number 1, Georgia travels to Kentucky. Kentucky has really, really fallen off the map. Great matchup this weekend between the two LA teams. USC, number 7, goes to the Rose Bowl to play UCLA, the 16th-ranked team. And another great Pac-12 game, number 10, Utah, goes to number 12, Oregon. And that could factor in who gets to the Pac-12 title game there. You got Bedlam in Oklahoma. Oklahoma State at Oklahoma. And then unfortunately, Coastal Carolina at Virginia is canceled. Unfortunate, sad circumstances there with the shooting at the University of Virginia. YSU is 6-4 currently. They lost last week and will host Southern Illinois, the Salukis, this weekend at YSU at noon. Penn State hosted Eastern Michigan last night. Akron, I believe, will check on their status, but I believe they play Buffalo this weekend in Buffalo, so I don't know their status. If the Browns and the Bills are moved, there's a good chance maybe that game gets flipped, maybe to Akron, maybe somewhere else, so we'll keep an eye on that. And then the Division III playoffs start, and Mount Union is one of the higher seeded teams. They will begin and play, I believe it's Salisbury this weekend. I'm not very familiar with that team, but Mount Union will begin its run at the D3 National Championship, trying to bring it back home to Alliance. All right, just a couple final thoughts here. Our high school teams that are still alive, this is the regional finals of high school football, so basically the Elite Eight. We have on Friday, tomorrow night, Friday, November 18th, Division III, Canfield versus Chardon at Ravenna. We have Division V, South Range versus Perry at Berkshire. On Saturday, November 19th, D4, West Branch versus Jefferson. That game is played at Niles. And then in Division 7, Warren JFK versus Danville. That game will be played at New Philadelphia. All those kickoffs are 7 p.m. So I'm not making any picks. I just want to wish our local teams good luck, especially to Canfield and Coach Pav. He's been a guest on our show before. Coach Lauren Pavlansky, just really like the Pavlansky family a lot. Wish them all the best in their game against Chardon. I know that's been Chardon's been a tough team for them in the past, but hopefully they can conquer them this year and get over the hump. So good luck again, especially to Canfield, South Range, West Branch, and Warren JFK this weekend for our local teams. I just want to touch base real quick on the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're on a 5-game losing streak. They started the season 8-1. They have lost 5 in a row. They've had guys in and out of the lineup, unfortunately.
I do blame you for that. You put him in the shit sandwich, and ever since then.
That's true. You know what? Maybe the Cavs deserve more love right now than the Browns. They are just – they're a fun team to watch. Even when they lose, they're fun. And I mentioned this on Tuesday, but I will be at the Cavs game on Sunday night against the Miami Heat. And I will literally be sitting right behind Eric Spoelstra, and I will be sitting right behind Jimmy Butler on the bench. So make sure you look for me. a lot of people say my go-to characteristic is usually a backwards white hat. That's like my thing. I don't know why, but a lot of people identify me or pick me out of a crowd when I wear that. But that's probably what I'll be wearing on Sunday.
What's your heckling skills like?
You know what? I'm not much of a heckler.
Really?
No, I'm really not.
You get the opportunity to sit behind the opposing bench.
Yeah.
You're not going to heckle.
You know what? I respect the game too much. I'll throw out a boo or something here and there, but I don't like riling up a bunch of guys. And on the Heat, I don't really have a guy that I like can't stand. If it's like a Joakim Noah or I'm trying to think, James Harden, I can't stand, you know, like certain players or Draymond Green. Like if I'm like have a chance, maybe I'll say something, but like those guys can also beat the shit out of me. And I want no part of that. But with heckling, it's like, it's a fine line. I think we've talked about this before. It's like, have a little fun with it, but don't be disrespectful. And another thing, this is a pet peeve of mine. Always be aware of your surroundings. If there's a little kid sitting next to you, don't be that guy that's swearing and dropping F-bombs and, you know, this and that. It's like, you know, come on, be better than that. Rise up to the occasion. But
so here's a challenge.
Yeah.
I will give you $100 if you can get someone from the Heat to be on your podcast. $100.
Oh.
The challenge is anybody that you can get from that bench to appear.
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right. I'll look into it. I'll look into it. Now, if I don't, do I owe you $100?
No.
Okay.
No, just $100 challenge.
Okay. All right. Anybody?
Anybody from that bench. So you got to negotiate your way.
It could be a coach too?
Sure. Okay. Sure. Might as well.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Anybody from that bench. See your negotiating skills.
All right. So even if I'm like, hey, I'll give you $50. I still come out plus 50. Okay. All right. Good deal. I'll look into that on Sunday.
All right.
Okay. All right. Done. So apparently Joe says it's confirmed. Browns Bills are moved to Detroit.
Detroit.
Okay, so Bills will be spending their Thanksgiving week in Detroit, and the Browns, that's not a long drive, but obviously looking out for the safety of the fans and the team. I unfortunately think that might factor into a better outcome
now?
For the Bills. Yeah. So we'll see. But, you know, that's why they play the game on the field, and we'll see what happens. I was looking forward to a snow globe game,
yeah,
but
for sure,
you know, it is what it is. So, all right. So for Joe, I am Justin. We'll let you know on shows next week. Obviously no Thursday show with Thanksgiving. We'll keep you updated with a show for Tuesday. But for everyone down here at Youngstown Studio, thanks for watching. My name's Justin. That's Joe. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word of mouth.